Continuing with our examination of the relationship between African-American music and black-white relations, we've invited John Cruz to offer us his thoughts on the discovery of black music by white elites in the 19th century and how that discovery reshaped 19th and 20th century American attitudes toward black music and culture. John Cruz is a professor of sociology at the University of California at Santa Barbara. He's also the author of Culture on the Margins, The Black Spiritual and the Rise of American Cultural Interpretation, published by Princeton University Press.
W.E.B. Du Bois once remarked that there is no true American music but the wild, sweet melodies of the Negro slave. Du Bois was right. The music of African Americans, rooted as it is in slave music, is, in the most profound sense, American music. We moderns look back at this legacy of slave music with an abiding appreciation. There are, however, complications behind this legacy. Consider that 200 years ago, slave owners, overseers, and accidental tourists heard slave music as wild, incoherent, and barbarous noise. However, by 1900, academicians were heralding black music as one of the wellsprings of American culture, and it became the object of benevolent appropriation. Romantics found in music cherished fragments of a pre-modern nobility. Highbrow composers like Dvorak reached down to uplift its themes to symphonic heights. Dozens of budding professional folklorists sought in it the secrets of pre-industrial culture that could be scientifically and taxonomically objectified. This story has a partially triumphant side. Over the centuries, black Americans garnered the hard-won recognition as makers of important cultural meanings. Black music had evolved from bad noise to good sound. But there is more to the story. For it was not black music in general, but the Negro spiritual that had been discovered. Only music that appeared to have a religious dimension passed through the benevolent doors of admission. All of the music remained noise. Frederick Douglass, the former slave, played a pivotal role in launching this new interpretive impulse. Douglass's autobiography, published in 1845, was the first writing by a black American in which whites were invited to discover with their own ears the inner world of slaves. Douglass unveiled a cultural interior of slaves that could be glimpsed through their songs of sorrow, which were testimonies to their struggle to endure and confront the heavy burden of slavery. After Douglass, black music was accessible to sympathetic cultural interpretation. The Civil War brought scores of discoverers. By 1870, the enterprise to collect spirituals was well underway. Yet, as appropriation and interpretation churned on, this good black culture became increasingly separated from black social and political aspirations. There were ears to hear the idealized singing black subject, but there was also a profound deafness to the lessons of the slave narratives that had introduced them to both the black cultural interior and the nightmare of American society. Appreciation flourished over unfinished business. Blacks could be accepted culturally, but not politically, socially, and economically as equal members of American civil society. By the end of the 19th century, a peculiar interpretive framework had taken hold. It featured an idealized black and spiritualized cultural performer stripped of a political and civic identity. Our last century has attempted to rectify the blind spots, but histories have a way of hanging around. Consider how Michael Jordan and Ken Griffey Jr. appear as embodiments of disciplined Republican virtue and as promoters of corporate goods. Yet American society remains deaf to what many are now calling the deeply racialized prison industrial complex. We moderns still struggle with the old notions of performance that embrace and yet maintain people on the margins.
You've been listening to John Cruz, author of Culture on the Margins, The Black Spiritual and the Rise of American Cultural Interpretation. And this is Talking History.
Destination, heartbreak. I've been there before. One-way ticket to teardrops.